This morning's responsive read came from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 to 14. So if you'd like to find your Bible and open up to Proverbs 27 and follow along as we make some passing comments on what we find here. I think I'm going to entitle this particular portion, Personal Relationships. Personal relationships, and hopefully we can see some of that in today's reading. Let's start off with verse 1. Verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here we find man guided by his own wisdom, his own intellect, his own self-assurance of himself, anticipating what's going to happen tomorrow or what might happen 5 years from now. The Bible cautions us to be very careful about boasting on what we're going to do or where we're going to go, even in the next 24 hours of your life. We're to be very, very careful because, beloved, we don't really know what's going to come around the corner tomorrow. For instance, we're watching right now unfolding live, upfront, and personal, the invasion of the nation of Israel by Hamas and her Palestinian allies. Now, Thursday of this past week, life went on as normal. Nobody, even Israel, we are being told, was caught off guard. Had no concept that the Palestinians in Gaza, and now joined with their friends to the north in the country of Lebanon, they had no idea, and there was no intelligence. It's quite amazing. Nothing was found. There was no traffic by way of phone calls or texting that the Israeli intelligence may have been keeping an eye on. No concept, no understanding, no awareness that 24 hours later, on Friday, and then Saturday, there would be this invasion. And now, according to the figures, at least 600 Israeli citizens and soldiers have now died in this invasion. And so now Israel, being caught off guard, is now trying to recoup and to recover the ground and now defend herself. Well, again, no one knew 24 hours ago plus that this invasion was coming. Not even Israel's military, not their well-known intelligence system, failed the Israeli people. Well, what about you and I? Today is Sunday. We can't even prophesy what's going to happen in the next couple of hours, let alone tomorrow. And so here's in this concept, never boast and brag about what you think you're going to do and accomplish, even within the next 24 hours. I think the book of James says something about this. James says, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will buy this or go here. If the Lord wills, we may be dead within the next 24 hours. Verse 22, here's some of these tidbits on personal relationships. Notice this one. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Beloved, all of us get caught up in self-braggadocious, meaning we like to brag and bring attention to ourselves. It may be that we've done something quite noble. Maybe we have created something that is beautiful. You may, or the pastor, may prepare and bring forth the best message he's ever preached. And it's quite easy for someone's head to get puffed up. Matter of fact, Paul admonishes the Corinthians in his first letter that we have in the text or in the canon. In that first letter which we have, he mentions the fact that because of a certain sin that was done in their congregation and they took no action to correct it, he told them, your heads are puffed up. A puffed up head, beloved, sometimes may have a hard time walking through a doorway because there's not enough room for that head to get through the two sides of the door. And so we need to let another man praise you. If you've accomplished something, let that praise and your accomplishment come back to you by others who see what you've done, saw the time and the effort and the worth that you put into it. Okay? Notice verses 3 on this idea of personal relationships. Would you agree that a stone is heavy? A chunk of marble, for instance, that's quite heavy. And is not sand weighty? Have you ever picked up a sandbag after you fill up a bag to get ready for some hurricane or a possible flood? Have you ever picked up a sandbag? My dear friend, there's a lot of effort needed to pick up a sandbag. Well, a fool's raft is heavier than them both. What else are we told in interpersonal relationships? Verse 4, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? You know, beloved, the Bible says that Pilate, when the religious leaders brought Jesus to Pilate, you know what one gospel narrative tells you? That Pilate was able to surmise that because of envy, they brought Jesus to him. Even Pilate, the Roman governor, could see through the forest the motivation behind the call for the blood of Jesus. Verse 5, interpersonal relationships. Here's one, beloved, that would be quite offensive today in our modern world. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, this is a beautiful example of Hebrew parallelism. Notice, open is contrasted with secret, right? Rebuke is contrasted with love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And beloved, yes, the Bible does tell us that love covers a multitude of sins. I'm not putting that aside. But there are times and seasons, beloved, that an open calling down of someone's actions or his or her words is needful. That doesn't need to be covered, but needs to be exposed and to be rebuked. Classic case in point, Galatians 2. What happened when a bunch of Gentile believers went to Antioch and Peter and Barnabas were at the table eating with these Gentile believers? And then some of the Judaizers from Jerusalem came up there, and when Peter and Barnabas saw these devout Jewish believers in Jesus Christ, who were so fastidious even to that day regarding the scruples of the Mosaic law, Peter and Barnabas pulled away from the table and left their Gentile brothers and sisters alone. When Paul saw this, he openly rebuked Peter, it says, in front of them all. Because Paul wrote, the truth of the gospel was at stake. So that wasn't some little petty thing that, you know, Paul had this idiosyncrasy with Peter's actions. No, Paul saw this as an attack on the gospel. And so he took Peter to task. On another occasion, it was Jesus who, in front of all the disciples, when Peter said, you are not going to go to the cross, Jesus said in front of all, Satan, get behind me. So, Jesus would be our example on verse 5. Now, in light of verse 5, we have verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Case in point, when Judas came with the armed soldiers to apprehend Jesus, do you know what Jesus called Judas when Judas came forward? Friend. And how did Judas respond? He kissed Jesus as a sign to identify the one who needed to be apprehended by the guards who came with Judas. Isn't that beautiful? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There are times, beloved, that your closest friend needs to tell you what you need to hear. That would be maybe that open rebuke. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You ever watch politicians sometimes? They may be on opposite sides of the political divide. And in public, when they're going to go to a meeting, some of them will embrace and they'll do the kiss on both cheeks. And yet behind closed doors, they're ready to consume each other with a knife and a fork as they deliberate. Oh, beloved, the kisses of an enemy are truly deceitful. Remember, a kiss in the ancient time, beloved, was a gesture of friendship and peace. Remember when Jesus went to the house of Simon the Pharisee and the woman came in with the alabaster and performed what she did, and Simon the Pharisee didn't say it out loud, but in his mind he said something to the effect, how can Jesus be from God not knowing the type of woman who's touching him? You know what Jesus told Simon? Simon, I came to your home. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You gave me no basin to wash my feet. And you gave me no kiss. Typical signs of an ancient culture of greeting, friendship, and acceptance. Simon gave none of those to Jesus. None. Again, interpersonal relationships. And let's see if we have any more that we can look at here. Yes, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. You get a good expensive bottle of cologne or perfume. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Notice, interpersonal relationships. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For notice, better is a neighbor that is across the street or next door than a brother who's thousands of miles away. Notice interpersonal relationships. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Now what's going on here? Well, beloved, if a son or a daughter pleases their parents and does everything to make them happy, to obey the counsel given, when a reproach comes to mommy and daddy that is laid at their feet in regards to their son and daughter, which is all fictitious and made up and not true, the father knows the character and the conduct of his or her child, and he is able to listen to this basket of lies and then to confront the one who brought those lies, because he knows the character of his children if anybody brings reproach. Verse 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Beloved, there are some people who go headlong in hitting a wall versus skirting around a potential problem or a potential evil. And then verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. You ever had the loud, verbose individual? Sometimes you watch a movie and one of the characters in that movie happens to be a loud person, very verbose, and just kind of throws a wet blanket or a wet towel on any gathering of other people within that room. Well, beloved, here we have these little nuggets of gold and silver, diamonds and pearls on how to get along with one another, whether it be in a home, a church, or within your local neighborhood. Well, may God choose to bless his word as we hear these counsel of interpersonal relationships between others and ourselves. Amen.